What's the Chats with Alison Craig and John Woods.
Well, welcome along to What's the Chat. It's Alison Craig and John Wood here with you for the first episode of the second series. And this whole episode is going to be set in a bar, and in fact, we're just going to use that as a theme going through the rest of our lives.
Someone just sneezed there.
I know, yeah,
that was a cracker.
Bless you.
So I've got my tooth in.
Yes, I know. Down. Yeah, but if you listened to the last middle episode, John was, I don't know, spluttering and whistling through his
terrible
face, and it really wasn't very
3 months of no front tooth.
Yeah.
So that's what you have to do if you're getting a bridge put in. So that's what I did. Oh, if you're at the dentist, you should get a root removed. That's a fun day.
Yeah. Oh, God.
That's a fun day.
Don't want to hear any of your medical stories.
Okay. But they do charge.
Yeah.
Oh, they charge.
Yeah.
Oh, the dentists, vets, and cheesemongers. If you go and get a piece of cheese to stop bridge, you might as well take out a mortgage.
Is that right?
Oh,
yeah, cheese, yeah.
Whiz,
cheese whiz. Love a bit of cheese,
A runny brie.
Oh,
a runny, stinking
brie. It's hard to get a runny brie, though. It's hard to get a runny brie.
Well, do you know the clue?
No.
The clue now is in, well, because I love a runny brie. The clue, I think, is to get the slice of the cheese with the wood, they have little balsa wood at the side of it.
Oh.
And that's keeping it in. So
balsa
when,
wood?
Yeah, it's like, you know, the balsa wood.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So then you take that off at home and it runs. It runs from the kitchen to the hall.
It's your throat.
It runs.
I love a rubbery. I know I'm a cheeseaholic, really, but my God, it's just fat, basically, in a shape, isn't it? You try not to eat too much of it. It's very
bad. Do you like blue
for
cheese?
Yes, I like all cheese. I like, it's a traditional blue one that everybody talks
Sanagur?
About. Gorgonzola.
Oh, nice.
Gorgonzola.
Nice.
Had my back.
Sanagur's good.
Is it Sanagur?
So we've now alienated half our audience going, oh, they're on about cheese.
I know.
Like Dairy Lee as well, so
oh,
come
yeah.
back. Come
remember
back.
Primula? Do you still get those in tubes?
Oh, there's a story my wife was telling me. Do you know that, wee Edam things that you get in the red? So they were away out, and there was a girl who was a foreigner who was staying in their flat. And they came back and says, I'm sorry, I've eaten all your cheese. Oh, there's no problem. It was really nice, but that red stuff really sticks in your teeth. She chewed the wax off the bloody thing. It's just ridiculous.
Oh, my God. Do you know there's a cheese lounge in Morningside, apparently? It's run and owned by the Ian Mellis Cheese Shop, and it's
right.
just a cheese lounge. So you can go in there, you can drink wine, eat cheese until, you know, you turn into a cheesemonger, probably.
Really?
Yeah, but I think you can take your own wine.
Now you're talking.
Yeah, exactly.
Now you're talking.
So that's quite a nice thing to know.
Cheese
especially
lounge.
If you, yeah, cheese is a really good idea, isn't it?
Well, cheese and wine has been a couple for years.
Oh, my God.
Not a couple. I was at their wedding. It's a lovely do. There was no tenants, but it was nice. It was nice.
Oh, I love it.
So anyway, I had a sort of self-indulgent week. I went to see Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
Oh.
Phoebe Waller-Bridge is in it. Who was Fleabag.
She's great.
God, she's good.
So talented.
God, she's really
great writer,
good.
Great actress.
Did you hear the story? This is disgusting, but I'll tell you.
Oh, God.
You hear, she told the story on Graham Norton. Did you hear it?
No. Well, I don't know yet.
She was in a play in London, and the final scene was opening off a door by the leading actor, and the audience couldn't see behind it, so every night they would be behind the door doing something.
Right.
So the first night it was like, ooh, your faces. Second night, clapping or something like that. Third night, exposing something. It got to the final night and they thought, we'll have to do something. And she exposed her bottom hole. And she went, it didn't go down well. And she told us
just
on national TV.
Too far.
Imagine the
guy's
face.
I love her. I wonder if she'll be up for the festival, because it's just about the festival.
She's
you get anything booked?
At the festival.
I know. Do you get anything booked?
What have we got booked? Nothing really else. There is a Blondie story I quite fancy.
Oh, that sounds quite good.
Quite fancy that. I was up at the castle the other week there to see The Who.
Oh, brilliant. Were they brilliant?
Well, I mean, Roger Daltrey's 79.
Is he really?
Pete Townsend's 78.
But still, I mean,
and
so
the
Strolling Crones are of the same vintage, and they're still giving it large, aren't they?
They also had an orchestra with them.
Oh, really?
So they did quite a lot of quadrophenia.
Sitting down when the orchestra was
playing.
Well,
this was actually tuned the second night. They got quite emotional.
Well, The Who?
Yeah, Pete Townsend said, this is probably one of the best gigs we've ever played.
Oh, my goodness.
And I said to him, that's a put-on. He says, no, I've seen it a few times. And he's never ever said that before.
Really?
They started to explore Edinburgh. They never knew about the castle and stuff like that. And they just fell in love. It was quite emotional.
Yeah.
And at the end, it was just the two of them. He was on acoustic. And he was just singing, and it was like old buddies, we've done this. It was great.
You realistically think how many times they've been tour. It's not going to be that many. I did get very excited watching the last gig, Elton John, at the end of Glastonbury. I sat absolutely glued to that. He did every single song that, you know, I would have wanted him to play if I'd had him round at my party, which he refused to do.
I would have sued the guy that sold them the belt for the trousers because he kept pulling up.
I know. When he got up to walk, I thought, Elton, get yourself a chiropractor.
I know.
Terrible state he was in. But the only song I didn't like was the one that he would have sung with Dua Lipa, but she wasn't there.
Yes.
And that song went a bit flat, and I wonder if she stood him up. And I thought, she'd have left that one out, because it would have, you know, there's a million other ones in his catalogue.
I love that song.
Do you?
I love it.
I like the original, but not when they chopped it up.
I like that. She's talented as well.
She is, but she wasn't there. And the boy that came on, who had an ego the size of Peru, the young man that came on, I was like, shut up and play your song.
Exactly.
You know, Elton's giving you a leg up here. He wasn't bloody well expecting you to have a monologue.
Well, here's something that I didn't know. You know David Johnson, the guitarist, who's from Kristoffen?
Yeah,
he went to St. Augustine's school.
Oh.
He played violin at St. Augustine's.
I didn't know that.
And he went out with Kiki D for a long time.
Oh, did he?
And I didn't know that.
Do you know, I have to apologise. Last time we were doing this recording, you told me that you thought, because I thought I'd seen Angie Dickinson in a restaurant in France, and you said that you thought she'd been out with Bert. And I rubbished, I said she has not been out with Bert Bacharach. Anyway, I googled it, and they were married.
Yeah.
So I apologise.
It's okay. It's okay.
Okay. I just wanted to apologise because I felt that it was important that we got that out. And of course, we have lost the legend, Tony Bennett. That's so sad.
I did see him live with my mum and dad, as opposed to dead, in a place I like to call San Francisco.
Oh, for God's sake.
San Francisco.
Every week we get San Francisco. You know, I've listened back because I'm clearly sad to our podcast.
That's
in the past.
My tooth just fallen.
Give us Whistling Jocks back. And it was... Every single episode you talk about San Francisco. But you don't realise it. When that tooth falls out, you're like Larry Adler. Percy Edwards. He was the one that did the impersonations of birds. Do you remember? It's a funny way to spend your time, Matt.
Yep.
Anyway, you were seeing, as you do, San Francisco.
Yeah, so it was at a place called Knob Hill, which was a very
It wouldn't be Knob Hill here, it would be Knobble.
Probably Woolly Mount. Could be. Anyway, it was...
Probably.
It was at the top of Knob Hill. It's where the cable cars go up, and it's in... A hotel. Was it the Fairmont Hotel? I can't remember. It was where Hotel was filmed, for those who remember, ages ago.
Well, we do, because none of us are as old as you, so move along.
Yeah, anyway, so we saw that. And at halftime, Mum and Dad and I were at the bar, and Tony Bennett and his trio were just standing there. Mum got a photograph. So I got the customary, standing in a line. Yeah, walked up to him, chatted away. And my dad, being a musician, chatted away to the keyboard player, the bass player. Like
ignoring Tony.
He's a husband. And then I got this photograph. Mum and him were talking, and they were laughing about the Borders, because he used to go down to the Borders. He loved painting. And I've got this photograph of my mum and him just laughing.
Oh.
So if you're on Facebook, if you go to my page, you'll see it.
It's
a cracking photograph.
That's lovely.
You know, the funny thing was, my mum the other day, they went, "That's Tony Bennett, Ted." "I know, Mum. I know, Mum." "That photograph will be worth something." Because he signed it. I said, "No, Mum, we took it with a spool."
Oh,
you know, once it got developed,
spool.
I never went up to his house to
Whatever
get it signed.
To spools.
I'm waiting on my photographs getting developed.
My folks loved Tony Bennett. My dad he had a video, that's, you know, how long ago it was, of Tony Bennett, and he would, every time he did a few drinks, "Sit down, let's watch Tony Bennett." And I go, "Right, okay." So I was sitting one day in a cafe, and I saw this, it was a national paper, it was a Guardian, and it said, "Tony Bennett playing this week at the Albert Hall." So I thought, do you know what? A lovely thing to do. My folks were getting on. Never seen them. Obviously, I've never seen him. And so I got online, managed to get 3 tickets. They were resales. We got really good tickets.
Oh, wow.
So I went around to see him that afternoon. I said, "Right, we're going to London to see Tony Bennett tomorrow." And of course, you can imagine in the mid-70s, it was like, "Oh my God, we're going tomorrow." So we got down in the train, stayed in a wee B&B, Airbnb around the corner, saw Tony Bennett. He was fantastic. We were just in a total high, had a few drinks, back to the hotel, back in the train the next day, sitting there, opened the paper, and there was a big headline saying, "Tony Bennett plays tonight at the Glasgow Concert Hall."
Oh,
But you know, I wouldn't have swapped it for the world. We had a lovely time. We, you know, we mooched about London, went into Harrods and had a donut and all that, and it was just great. Yeah.
But so, you're at the Royal Albert Hall.
I know, and I've been there before to see Eric Clapton actually.
I've never been.
Oh, it's a fantastic venue, it really is. But do you know, it's like a big Usher Hall. I mean, it's you know, well, it's a lot bigger than Usher Hall, really. But yeah, I mean, we've got some great venues here.
Well, I'm going to see Holly Johnston at the Pavilion Theatre in Glasgow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's on, I think it's October.
Do you know what I've just booked?
What?
To see ABC doing Lexicon of Love, the whole thing, with an orchestra in Glasgow next March.
I saw that advertised.
Well, get tickets, you can go through together.
Interesting. Yeah. That'll be a great gig.
I love that album. Love that album.
Do you know, I went to see Tony... I went to see...
Oh, I don't think I know them.
No, they're very good.
Are they?
They were backed by...
Oh, I know them.
They're fantastic. Oh, God, I can't remember.
Maybe we should talk about something else.
I'll come back to that one. Well, I've only had one pint.
Nile Rodgers was... he had a huge glass of wine as well. Nile Rodgers was playing at the Usher Hall last night.
Yes, and Grant Stock put up some photographs, and it looked as though it was a great gig.
If I knew, I would have got tickets by the time I found out Chris was sold out, as usual. Yeah. Love a bit, and I would think. I mean, I do love disco. There's no kind of music I don't love, but I do love disco.
The one I was trying to remember was Smokey Robinson. I went to see him, and it started off with a string section at the front of the orchestra, at the front of the stage, playing When Smokey Sings, the ABC song. And he started off with that, and then he walked on the stage. And one of the things about that concert is you keep looking where your partner going, that's another one he wrote.
Oh, really?
Oh, God, he wrote that as well. Oh, my.
It's like Carole King, isn't it?
Yeah. Did you see Beautiful?
Yes, I've seen it twice. Oh. She's so talented. She's great. Love her. Yeah.
That's a tearjerker.
Oh, dear. Unbelievable. You had homework, actually, that I asked you to do, and I don't think you've done it. So you're going to get a row for this.
Yeah.
I asked you to watch Songbird on BBC iPlayer, which is all about Christine McVie.
I had diarrhea. I've got a note from my mum.
Well, can you watch it for next time? Because she's written so many songs. You know, it's an amazing story. And if I'm going to play the game and do things that you asked me to, then you have to do the same.
Yeah, well,
can you watch it? It's your homework.
Okay, I'll do that as well. What else have I got coming up? I'd like to see Tower of Power. They're my band.
Really?
And I bought tickets for them in London.
It's
a group that I saw in a place I like to call San Francisco. They're a Bay Area band. They're actually session guys, and they play all over. They're brilliant. And they were coming to Europe, and then COVID kicked in, and I had tickets, I had the flights booked to London.
They're playing now in London.
They were, but nothing yet. But even if you Google or YouTube Tower of Power, fantastic.
Never heard of them. Sister Sledge are playing in North Berwick on the 10th of August, in fact, because you know there's an offshoot festival down here called Fringe by the Sea.
Right,
And they get some great gigs, some great people. They've got Elkie Brooks, they've got Travis, they've got Sister Sledge. In fact, I think we're going to have a chat with Rory, who is the organiser and the head honcharama of the whole Jing Bang. Well, here I am with Rory Steele, who is the head honcho of Fringe by the Sea, and it's just around the corner. How are you feeling about it?
Incredibly serene. Lying, obviously. we've got a magnificent team here at Fringe by the Sea, and we've been working hard all throughout the year getting it all ready, and from Friday we'll start seeing the kit arriving. The big top goes on Monday, and then it suddenly gets very real.
You've got some tremendous bands and acts and guests, and I mean, what are the highlights in your opinion this year?
Well, you know, we keep setting ridiculous standards for ourselves and having to better them. You know, one of the things from last year was a real highlight was Texas, and everyone was like, right, okay, how are you going to beat Texas this year? So the stall was set out, and we booked some tremendous acts. Obviously Travis coming all the way over from LA, as where they live now, and Fran just turned 50 this year, so hopefully he'll be in a good party.
Really back home for a knees up.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And then also coming over from America, Sister Sledge. So big disco day, and the glitter will be flying. But we've also got, you know, you know, just programmed throughout the week, everything from, you know, little toddlers up to octogenarians will be catered for. So
yeah, because you've got Phil and Ally and...
Kind of Fringe by the Sea, but like two acts, one being Phil and Ally and the other Mr. Boom.
Oh, yeah. Both ends of the spectrum. Exactly. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. And Elkie Brooks as well.
I know. That's Brilliant. Another one, another big coup getting It's our only UK gig this year, so we're or Scottish gig, I should say, this year, so we're absolutely delighted that she's coming over. So that's a big Wednesday night. Groove Armada will be getting the party started. They came back in 2019 to the Spiegel Tent at the Harbour and absolutely smashed it, and so we're delighted they're coming back. And Andy Cato is doing a talk on regenerative farming in the afternoon as well.
Yeah, so, that'll be really interesting. And obviously there's so many different aspects of the programme. You've got authors as well. You've got Maggie O'Farrell.
Yeah, well, she's a local. So
I know. Saw her last year. And it was the funniest thing because she sat and talked about, she was talking about her book Hamnet, mm-hmm. Which is based in Hamlet, obviously, alas, poor Yorick and all that. And she was just talking about, and they said, have you always had a sort of thing about, Shakespeare or Hamlet? And she said, no, but she remembered being at school in North Berwick when they were going to a Halloween party and she pinched the skull from the biology department. To go to the party, and she said she got it back to the biology department undetected, at which point this woman in the audience put her hand up and she went, I was your teacher! You stole the skull from me! So it was just brilliant. It brought the house down, you know, that local connection. Yeah.
Well, it's fantastic, you know, getting the likes of Maggie. Obviously we're on at the same time as the book festival, but, you know, a lot of the authors just love coming down for a day out at the seaside in North Berwick.
I'm a major Gogglebox fan, and of course you have got the Gogglers Deluxe. You've got Giles and Mary.
I know, but they've got a new book out, and so they're on a bit of a tour. And a friend of ours, Fiona Duff, she had seen them down at Boswell Book Festival and said, you've got to get them for Fringe by the Sea. So we put a call in, and so they're coming up for the whole weekend. They're making a weekend of it. And so looking forward to seeing their sort of chit-chat that they have on the sofa in real life up on the stage.
They are so funny. They are so funny. They really are a sitcom in themselves. And out with the big tent, I know you've got smaller tents and you've got all sorts of local craft makers, and I mean it really is a big community deal, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we when we moved to the Lodge grounds a couple of years ago, it gave us the opportunity to expand and expand the arts and crafts market. You know, obviously a lot of these people have had a really tough time over the last couple of years in terms of income, you know, with the COVID years, and so, you know, being able to give them an opportunity to really kind of trade the wares without having to go too far from home. You know, most of them are East Lothian based, and that's the same for the food and drink traders as well. You know, they're all kind of sort of local food trucks and you know a wide selection of tasty morsels from the sea and from the land, and so I mean it's not just about, you know, the big headliners. It's about providing an opportunity for locals. So, you know, it's fantastic when you see the big acts on the stage at night time, and the next day there's the local sort of drama group that are, you know, the kids are doing a production, and it's wonderful kind of to see, you know, them getting that opportunity to share a stage with the big names. Like, it hopefully motivates them for the future.
And it's nice for folk to get out of Edinburgh as well, and to you get the main festival is Mayhem, so just to have a little bit of respite, come down to the seaside and have a nice day. And do you have more trains and transport?
So ScotRail are great. They put on a midnight service back to Edinburgh. So we have a 11 o'clock finish to all our events. So plenty of time to head back to the train station and catch the last train back.
I bet that's a fun train, to be honest.
Oh, it's about a certainly will be after Sister Sledge. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Nobody will want to leave. Oh, grand. So give us the dates that it's on.
So the Friday the 4th of August, right the way through to Sunday the 13th. So it's a 10-day extravaganza. And we don't continue on after the schools go back. So... unlike Edinburgh, but like you say, it's you know, we've got, you know, incredible kind of world class talent, but we don't have the kind of the hustle and bustle and the kind of craziness of Edinburgh Fringe. It's a much more serene environment down here.
Great, and they've got a Lucas ice cream place as well down by the harbour, which is also a huge draw, I would like to see. But listen, thanks, and we'll look forward. Well, at the same time next year, eh?
Absolutely, first Friday in August for 10 days. Excellent. Put it in the dates in the diary next year if you've missed out on the sold out shows. So keep. Come to our website, register, and get first notice on tickets going up.
Great. Rory Steele, thank you so much for talking to John and I today, even though John's in the pub and I'm here.
Lucky John.
Get in touch with John and Alison on What's the Chat Podcast at gmail.com.
Back to pork.
Fantastic series on, I think it's on Prime, called George and Tammy, and it's about George Jones and Tammy Wynette.
Oh, interesting.
It's absolutely brilliant. Tammy is played by Jessica Chastain, great actress. And George is played by an American actor whose face I know, but I don't know his name. It's brilliant. It's about five-parter, but it's all true. You know, obviously, it's hard to be a woman. Yeah, but it's the stories behind all the songs and their lives, and I'd highly recommend it. It's brilliantly acted. The song is incredible.
Addicted to was Below Deck, Mediterranean. Love it.
There's a new series of that just come out.
I've done that.
It's addictive, all these things.
It's brilliant. I don't know how much is true or not, because there's all these relationships that go on.
I think the first series in these things is true, and then people know what's going to happen, so they get a job in the boat because they want to be on the telly, so it sort of changes the dynamic a bit. But I think the arguments in the are true, because they just get, you know, stressed and pissed
and they slap the guests. And guests are leaving like 20 grand tips.
And if they don't leave a 20 grand.
I know.
It's like 20 grand. God help them to get an Aberdonian on board. We're like, how much? No, I don't think so. And I've been watching that The Sixth Commandment on BBC iPlayer.
Unbelievable.
It made me think about you, actually.
It's a warning. We had a gardener who befriended my mother. And it was very similar in the fact that she ended up allegedly stealing some money, or things went missing, and she totally drove a wedge between my mother, myself, my family, and everybody else. So there are people out there.
I know people like that as well. Make a point of insinuating themselves into your life in sneaky ways. Yeah.
Timothy Spall's brilliant in it, though. He is
absolutely superb.
He's absolutely superb.
And what is the name of the lady that plays?
I can't remember.
Anne Reed.
Well done. Yeah,
it's well worth watching. I'm not at the end of it yet, actually, but it's
called The Sixth Commandment. And the guy who plays the evil guy is brilliant as well.
It's all about gaslighting, which we were discussing the weekend. What is gaslighting? Well, I'll tell you. Do you remember a film? It was a long, long time ago, way before our time, called Gaslight. And it was it goes way back to the 40s, I think, and it was about a woman who lived with her husband, as they tend to do, and he was trying to insinuate that she was losing her mind, so he was playing tricks on her and, you know, just making her think that she was mad and trying to get her sort of locked up or doubting her own sanity. And that's where the expression that we now use, gaslighting, comes from, that film, because that was the theme of it. No, I googled it yesterday because I was discussing it with our pal James. It was quite interesting.
Well, funny enough, when we come out of the house, at the side wall of the door, the main door, there's all these black marks, and we wondered what they were, and then we found out that that's where they used to have this massive match and strike it to light the gas up above the house. Apparently that's what gaslighters used to do.
Oh, that's amazing. I see there's they're actually filming an Agatha Christie down here at Tinningham, which is a little town a little bit further down the coast here. And one of my pals, Steve, was going to be an extra in it, and but he hasn't been called, so he's absolutely devastated. But, you know, some of the actors are on strike at the moment, and the screenwriters. And one of the reasons is artificial intelligence. Now, if you get a job as an extra, did you hear this? So you're an extra, for instance, as a gravedigger in a film, you know, you were cut. But so there I was as the Victorian woman in mourning. So they would have me in that shot, and they would then just digitally, they would have my face, and they could use me every single day for the rest of the film if they wanted me in the background, but they wouldn't need to pay me as a person because artificial.
Dangerous.
But then they could use you in another film. They could use you. They could put you in as, you know, behind Vladimir Putin with a machine gun. It's all very, very strange.
Well, there was one that came to light with MartinMoneyExpert.com, and it was on Facebook and other social media areas. And basically, he was a video of him saying you should invest in this company, blah blah blah. And he had the shirt on, the same shirt that he usually wears.
Is that right?
He had. It was him. Oh. It was his voice. And he came on and says, "This is the best one I've ever seen." It says, that is my shirt. I'm wearing that shirt today. And it's a total fake. It's total fake news.
How can you tell if it's true or if it's fake? I mean, they were saying that, you know, God knows the American election is going to be an absolute bun fight for all the reasons we know, but they're already putting artificial intelligence, is gathering all this and putting truth together with fake stuff, turning it into a really slick-looking campaign video and putting it out online. So you just can't, there's no way anyone can tell.
And another thing is, like, people are listening. I remember my wife and I were chatting about, well, there's foxes in our area, and we just happened to be, and I just happened to say, it'd be amazing if we could actually get a fox knocker on your door or something like that. Next day, adverts for fox knockers came up.
How does that work? Have you got an Alexa in your house?
Yeah, I do
as well. It's really strange.
It's scary.
It doesn't matter how obscure the thing you're talking about is, but it'll turn up some way.
Well,
I'm
trying that with Dennis Lager. Alexa, yeah. 6 cans, please. See if it arrives. Does it help?
It has arrived. That's just your second one. It's just called Canny there, son. Would you like another one?
Might as well,
in for a penny, in for a pound. We decided that the podcast we would do from independent businesses because there's too many bloody chains. I'm fed up with these chains, to be honest.
Yeah.
So there's lots of independent local businesses that just need to be celebrated, really.
Now, I don't know if this is a chain. I know there's one in Glasgow.
This isn't. The one we're in is called Number 12, and it's in the High Street in North Berwick, and it's not. And you can sit out in the garden, which we are.
It's lovely.
Or you can sit inside, which we're not.
And, but this was a place in Lothian
Road.
Had
a very nice lunch, if you could stop interrupting me.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Sorry.
God almighty.
Just putting my nose up.
Oh, you just sit over there and had your wheeshed. Did you hear him interrupting?
Interrupting the famous Alison Craig. How dare I?
God, you're still doing it. You see, when you're talking, John, you're not listening. So what was I talking about?
I have no idea.
Exactly. It's not a conversation, it's a bloody
monologue.
Get on with it then.
Independent restaurant.
I don't want to say it now.
No, there's one in Lothian Road called Shaku. It's like a diluted Dishoom.
Oh.
It's like Dishoom Light, I suppose.
But is Dishoom's a chain, isn't it?
Right. Shaku, there's one in... Anyway, it's very nice.
Chaku.
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 Steady. That's the first complaint straight away.
But I'll tell you what we do like is kapow.
What?
Kapow. Have you been to kapow?
No.
Have you been to kapow?
No.
Oh, chilling, you're missing out.
What is that?
It's in the shopping centre, actually, the new shopping centre at the end of Prince's Street. There's one in Glasgow and there's one in Edinburgh. Go. Food is fantastic. It's £17.50. You get a 3-course lunch. And honestly, even you couldn't finish it.
Right.
And the food is delicious. It's like fusion Asian, which isn't easy to say when you've had a couple of sherries. Fusion Asian. And it's so reasonable. And it's great food. It's really good. It's a guy from Glasgow that's got it. Well, there's two of them. So... Yeah, go. It's
okay.
Really great.
Okay, I'll try that.
And I hear the one in Glasgow is very good as well.
Yeah.
See, local. Got to celebrate local.
Well, do you know, there's another place, several places in, I mean, Glasgow, Finnison never used to be a popular area, but now it is.
Oh,
and
yes.
There's Finnison Restaurant itself.
The Crab Shack's there, isn't it?
And there's the Gannet, which is brilliant as well.
Is it?
Tasting menu,
it's
outstanding.
It's a good name for a restaurant, isn't it? The Gannet.
You
get through there quite a lot.
I like it. I really like the buzz of Glasgow.
Well,
I told you the best.
School there.
Well,
come on, this is where you flick the hair you used to have. Do
I know,
it. Go on, flick it. I love that.
I remember coming off the station at Queen Street, and it was one of these things where the train was late. And you know that Muppet moment where someone says something, you look in the air going, really, was that right? And they said, we apologise for the late arrival of your train. This was due to a delay.
It's great.
What?
It's the guys on the train that are frustrated broadcasters.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know, so they just need to say, train's leaving, train will be arriving in, you know, Edinburgh at 12 o'clock, whatever it is, but you get the, if you could, you know, fasten your safety belts, don't have safety belts, the buffet is open, it'll be open, we serve, and you get the full menu. Next stop will be, make sure your luggage is tucked away, stop staring at the man opposite you, put your knickers back on, just keep talking so that I can hear my silky tones. Oh, here we are, rolling into Newcastle, and good night.
Well, I was on the train coming down to North Berwick today, and there was a screaming child next to me, and the parents decided, let's play Snap.
Ooh.
Let's not. Let's not, because every time it snapped, she yelled and she was standing on the table and back. It's like, geez.
Yes. Oh, too much. The joys of travelling next to a stranger's child, though, they cannot be underestimated. Jeez.
So, where were we, did you watch Wimbledon, by the way? Did you watch the boy Alcatraz?
I like going to Wimbledon, having all that booze that we did last year. That was good. But I didn't really watch it. David was good to it.
Alcatraz was brilliant.
Alcatraz. The guy that won.
Yeah.
I did see a bit of that. Very pleased that he won.
And Djokovic lost the head and smashed his racket against the post.
To be honest, that didn't do much favours in the old PR front, did it?
No, he got fined.
He was like a petulant child. $6,000.
Yeah.
I did see the end of the Golf Open yesterday. He was so far ahead, though, that
he was,
American guy. It wasn't really a competition.
He was 13 under. And the nearest one next to him was 7 under.
Yeah, I mean, come on. It's not real. But you know, there was millions of pounds at stake there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now
Wimbledon's women's money is exactly the same as the men's money.
And the Scottish Open, did you go down to any of that?
I didn't go to Renaissance. I have played it. It's the most difficult course
in
the world. It's hard. Very, very difficult.
I think a Scotsman won that, though, didn't he?
Cameron. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And so we were expecting big things for him at the Open, and it didn't really happen.
The
no, he didn't win it. Cameron never won it. It was Rory who won it. He was leading, Rory came in.
It's a bit like, you know, when you just call him by his first name, Rory.
Rory.
Because everybody
Rory.
Loves him.
He played the second shot, the 18th, changed his club. Played it at all. It's just beautiful.
Well, he was playing like a Muppet yesterday, and he was soaked through, and he still had a cheeky wee smile on his face, and you could see him as he failed to sink yet another putt. You know, just his eyes were rolling, but he still had a smile on his face, and he was like, well, you know, you win some, you lose some. And they didn't interview him, and he said, oh, well, I didn't do too badly last week, so I'm living with myself. He's a nice young
man. There's a whole Libby Golf and
But they're all getting together now.
Well, they are getting together, but I think there's still a lot of animosity here.
Yeah,
there's
a few embarrassing moments.
The money has been crazy. I know. And then if you look at other monies, like Messi has now gone to David Beckham's club in Miami. I mean, how much was that?
How much would he get then?
Top 100 million.
I mean, you see, it's gone too far.
And none of it is coming our way.
No, exactly.
None of it.
That's
absolutely.
You gave up your professional footballing career before it started. Yeah.
So where are we going next time?
I don't know.
Where's our next?
Well, we could go to Kapau.
Why don't we
go there? Because honestly, you would love the food.
Well, we'll just say we'll see them in Kapau.
Let's see you in Kapau.
This is the end. What's the Chats with Alison Craig and John Woods?
All I can say is wow!